Just because you are vegan, it means that the food you're eating, your vegan footprint means that, okay, instead of using plastic, I'm using paper. I'm thinking more of the environment and how I can do my part.
Because they still make like vegan donuts. So you can be vegan, but eat.
Vegan, oh my God, there's so much junk food now. And it just means you're not eating meat.
You know, I had this friend that was vegan for a long time, so I would sporadically eat it. But then, you know, I think I was 28 or something when I went to the doctor and I had high cholesterol. I was like, and I'm not like an unhealthy person. How do you educate yourself on these things?
You don't have to do what I did. I actually went to nutrition school. What you can do is look up avocado oil and safflower oil to see what the effects on the body is. Because I look up a lot of stuff. Nobody teaches us self-care. Nobody teaches us what do we do when we have negative thoughts. So I teach all those things at my time and what actions can I take. And it's a bunch of exercises to really write down what do you want? What do you want to do? What will your life look like?
If you actually help people identify what it is they want. Do you talk to people about like just daily habits and things like that they can apply to their life?
You need the habits. You need to release a lot of the things that aren't going to contribute to what you want. Always, I will tell my students, just for the 3 hours that you're here today, let's just get rid of everything and just let this be our focus. I mean, how many of us focus?
I'm just one person. If I thought, it's not really going to make a difference, so what's it matter?
It does matter. That could save some animals. You know, like millions of people have become plant-based and vegan. One thing I would say is to know that you matter.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show here. I wanted to start by giving you a chance to kind of tell everybody what it is you do and why you do it.
Okay. My name is Diane Randall, and I am what you call a whole living consultant. That means I teach people inner tools and strategies to help them live their lives mentally, physically, and spiritually. I also teach classes. I do webinars. I use other platforms to get my message out, because one of the things I believe is that nobody teaches us how to live our lives. Right. Nobody teaches us self-care. Nobody teaches us what do we do when we have negative thoughts? How do I set boundaries? Nobody teaches us that. So I teach all those things now so that people can really have a handle on their personal lives.
When you think of whole living and self-care, what are kind of the big, if there are any, are there kind of like big principles that kind of are the foundation of what you teach people?
One of the big principles is self-awareness, because if you don't have self-awareness, or if you don't have courage, or if you're not willing to walk through your fear, then you don't even recognize the big picture about what I teach and what I do. So it's just, how do I believe that I'm enough? Or if I'm in fear, how do I walk through that fear? And I call it getting to the other side, where I can see other things that can create a better life, a better career, help me see through my filter of the world that the world is really a great place and I have something to contribute.
Whenever you're talking to people and they're battling with that fear, what are kind of the common things that people are afraid of? Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense. Because, I mean, I can even think about when I was younger. It's the fear of being heard, being seen, that I'm enough, that I'm not going to be judged. I feel that in society, and I don't know where these messages come from, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, some of us, when we're raised, we don't feel like we have anything, or not anything, but we don't feel like we have a lot to contribute. You know what I mean? We grow up small, many of us, not all of us. So it's recognizing that I do have a voice as a female, for example, mm-hmm. and I have things to say, regardless of who's listening, and not fearing that, oh my goodness, do I sound stupid? You know, yeah. How do I look? You know, focusing on those things. So it's how do I show up without all those mental barriers that keep me from just speaking up and being the person that I want to be.
I've been battling with this idea lately that I want to, like, and it's not a new idea or anything, but the idea that, you know, it's actually the success that we're afraid of when we think about our dreams and aspirations. But I wonder if part of that's because the success would bring the attention that could then lead to those outsiders giving us more negative talk or judgment. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel it's our feelings of not being enough.
Like almost like it's not justified. Like if we were successful, it's like, why? I don't deserve that.
Exactly. It's bringing that up there. You know, and I feel most human beings, I can remember for years feeling like such a fraud. You know what I mean? Just, you know, who am I to speak on wellness? Who am, you know, this was about 16 years ago. I'm a technology person, you know. Who am I to think that I used to call them soft skills, that I can have something to contribute in this whole nother world? Even though I was having experiences that were changing my life in the wellness world, but I felt like I didn't feel like I could do that for whatever reason. There was a lot of mental blocks there, but it's working through those fears, working through all that self-judgment that you have about not being enough, being a fraud, not having enough education, you know, it's all those things that keep us stuck.
Well, how did you get past it when you made that jump to doing it?
Well, it really wasn't a jump. It was a long process.
Well, that's good. No, that's...
It was one thing leading to the other. I can remember just reading a book. And this was a long time ago. The internet didn't have what it's capable of now.
Right. You know?
But it's reading books. And those books led me to like workshops, led me to different teachers. I remember just traveling across the country just to go to workshops. I used to call myself a seeker because once I'd see something or read something, I felt like lighter. I felt a little shift. And then I felt that, okay, I'm going to practice speaking. I'm going to say my message anyway. I'm not going to worry about other people and if they're looking at me and what they're thinking. It's working through all those fears and getting the courage, because I always say you need a lot of courage in this life. To do the things that you want to do, because there's so much negativity, especially now, coming at us for one reason or the other. But it's learning how to believe in myself. That was the main thing.
What prompted that idea that, you know, hey, what allowed you to recognize I don't believe in myself now, but I want to? Or do you think that was still a long journey to get there?
I believe it was a process. I call it a process.
Yeah.
You said what made me.
Yeah, like, I just wonder if there was a pivotal moment for you to say, like, I'm doing this career. I think reading your story, you were working, like you said, in the technology space. But now you're saying, you know, I want to do this. I want to help people find this fulfillment. But that's a big leap. For many people. So I just always wonder if there's a pivotal moment or if it is just a thing where you're like just continuously kind of hitting this, hey, this is what I want to do.
It's several pivotal moments. Okay. It's moments where I stood up and say, you know what? I am shaking in my boots, but I'm going to say it anyway. Somebody invites me to speak. I'm a nervous wreck, but I'm going anyway. Over time, I even started teaching courses at a college for self-development and personal growth. So all those things helped me to build my confidence in knowing that I really have something to say. And then I've learned in life, you know, everybody don't want to hear what you have to say. So that's one thing I learned.
But that's
too.
Okay, right?
Perfect. So what I learned was I'm going to go where people want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah. I think that was for me one of the big things that I had to get over, and I'm still getting over. But like when you start a podcast, or let's say you're going to put yourself out there, it's like in your mind you think, "Well, I need all these millions of people to like me," and it's like, but that's not realistic anyway. There's going to be some people that like it, some that don't, and that's perfectly fine. But I think it's that whole idea that I need everybody in the world to like me and to like what I'm saying. But
that's right.
It's like unrealistic.
It's unrealistic, but I understand that. I really do that sentiment. And I can remember being afraid of just being on the internet on a telecall or something because people were going to hear me. They were going to hear me. Do I sound stupid? You know, just all this self craziness that I had going on inside of me. But it's just recognizing, you know what? I feel I have something to offer. I have a message. I feel that my conversation can help someone. And like you, I don't care about a million people. Right. I just don't care who likes me. I want to impact the people who are interested in what I'm saying. And I try to bring value to what I offer online, even to my podcast, even to my community. So whoever wants to hear it, join. If you don't, that's great too.
I like
that. It's really coming to terms with that.
Yeah.
It's really coming to terms with that.
You titled your book, you know, Jumpstart Your Life. Do you think that when you made this transition to actually doing this thing that you were passionate about, that was kind of like the start of your life, like actually fulfilling your needs?
I taught a class called Jumpstart Your Life for 10 years. It started out as an article I wrote for this little magazine. It was about me being a single mom and getting out of my comfort zone. And I wrote about all the things I did, being a single mom, moving to Chicago, bringing my kids with no support. It started out that simple. Mm-hmm. Then I did a presentation. So I turned it into a presentation. Then when I started teaching in a continuing education program, adult enrichment, I made it into a class. And I taught that class for 10 years.
Wow.
And what I loved about it, it evolved. It evolved based on the people that came in and the input that I got. So it's a guide. It turned into a guide to help you to look at your life, look at the areas that you really want to improve in, basically, and picking those areas and then looking at the priorities that you have on a daily basis. Because the first thing we have to look at is, what are we doing every day? How are we using our time? Because if you're not looking at your time and what you're doing, especially how much time are you dedicating to what you want? A lot of times that answer is zero. Okay.
Right.
So it's, how do I become aware that I'm not using my time for what I really want in this life? And it's writing those priorities down first of, how am I using my time? And then looking at, okay, where can I put me, what I want to do or what I want to extend on based on what I said I wanted to improve on when I did an analysis up front, really, that's what it is. And what can I do to add my time, and what actions can I take? And it really helps people. And it's a bunch of exercises to really write down, what do you want? What do you want to do? What will your life look like? Who are you? Who are you talking to? Where are you? So I have people write that kind of stuff down. And then from that, you take two affirmations, two positive statements. And those positive statements based on what you wrote down is just to inspire you on a daily basis. So I say, put it on the refrigerator, put it on the coffee pot, put it anywhere where you'll wake up or you'll have to run into on the closet door, anywhere. Right. So put those affirmations on the door and read them, because what I want to do with that is, we want to bring the thoughts about what I want to do, the idea of what I want to do and who I want to be, into reality. And the only way to do that is to put it on paper and then turn it into affirmations. And then after that is, okay, I just asked for two action steps that you can take, and they have to be real. And we call that part of the plan. And then from those action steps, okay, what can you do? So if you say, I want to go back to school, I want to get a master's. Okay, so the action step, When you leave the class today, you have an action step to call that graduate program on Monday. So it's just helping people navigate through what they want and clearing space to really dive into what they want to do or who they want to be. You know, yeah. Some people want to change, you know.
When you talk about the affirmations, and it's based on these desires, is it truly like, let's say my goal, I want to just be able to buy a house. How would you take that phrase and make it an affirmation?
One example is, and it's really big, it's buying my dream house. It's you seeing yourself in that house. What does that house look like? Mm-hmm. Where is it? You know, what is your visual or your vision for that house? Okay. That's what we're getting at.
And then that's what you actually write down.
It's bigger than just buying a house. And that's what you write down. What does the street look like? You know, what does the house look like? How many rooms do I have? Who's in the house with me? What does the interior look like? It's just creating a vision for what you want in that house.
Well, and it's been proven, right? The more specific you are with those things, the more realistic they are going to become, like not only in your mind, but then when you're manifesting it.
That's right. Because it's about being specific. And I say it must be at least 70% reality.
Wow.
Not just some random crazy thing. Right. Because what you want to do is you want to write that vision. But the next, okay, so how do I get to that vision? How can I take that vision and break it down into goals, break it down into actions, and break it down into steps? It may mean you need a new career to afford it. You know what I mean?
No, that's really powerful. One of my questions was going to be if you actually help people identify what it is they want. And it sounds like you do. So you go from, hey, these are my desires, these are the affirmations, to the action steps. So what is outside of like action steps? Do you talk to people about like just daily habits and things like that they can apply to their life to start getting better? Or is this a separate thing than the jumpstarting?
It's all in there together. Because if you don't have habits,
yeah,
you need the habits. You need to release a lot of the things that aren't going to contribute to what you want. Because if you're not spending any time in a day on what you want, it's just never going to happen. So a lot of it is habits. It is actions. It's giving yourself permission to really think about what you truly want. You know, I think a lot of us don't have what we want because we're not focused on it. We're distracted with everything else.
Right.
So my book and my class was, how do we take that, give ourselves permission to just get rid of the noise just for, always, I will tell my students, just for the 3 hours that you're here today, let's just get rid of everything and just let this be our focus. I mean, how many of us really focus on what we want? It's in there,
yeah,
you know? Right. But we're not really like focused to make it happen.
Whenever I want to make a leap to when we talk about these habits, part of what your messages around is the whole living and the plant-based eating. How did you find that, and how does it kind of fit into all
goodness.
This?
I mean, this was over process too. When I first started out just coaching, you know. And of course, I'm like everybody else eating everything.
Right.
Okay? But what happened was kept going to the doctor. you know, I kept going to the doctor, the people I talked to, they just, you know, it was just more than focusing on time management. Self-care is what you put into your body, because what you put into your body affects your mind. And keep in mind, I had no idea I was going to become plant-based and vegan 20 years ago.
Okay.
None whatsoever. But just what I learned was food really matters, because that affects our mood. It affects our health. It affects our energy. So I started putting that together. And then I mean, I'm a young, successful engineer. Then I started my business, but man, my health was really failing me, you know? So it was learning and understanding, okay, what is it? What is going to help me to show up and be here because I'm really young. I got high blood pressure. And that was just going out eating the standard American diet, you know, and I'm steadily going downhill with my diet. But then I'm talking about self-care and all these other things that I didn't even, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even put that together for a long time. So again, that was a process. One thing led to another. I started feeling better. Because I got sick first. I was sick for, not sick where I had a disease, but sick where I had gut problems. I was just miserable for one reason or another. And just when I started changing and evolving into the plant-based, started feeling better and better. I had more energy to do the things that I want to do. Like I said, it's a process. I've evolved. When I became plant-based, I wasn't even vegan. I was just trying to help support my health at the time. Right. So becoming vegan and just opening my eyes to a lot of other things in the world and just becoming not only lighter mentally, but lighter physically and emotionally too, because a lot of depression, it can also go back to what we're eating. A lot of moodiness goes back to what we're eating or not eating.
Right.
So it's all related. And that's how I began to look at the whole life, whole living, because it's not just the mind on its own. It's not just the body on its own. It's what's happening inside of us first that we bring out to the world.
Yeah, it's easy to forget about that piece of it. But I mean, our mind, our body has to have those nutrients, but it's so, we get so caught up in just the everyday hustle and bustle that it's, for me anyway, it's like hard. Like I have a good friend who's been vegan for a long time. And it's like, you know, she's like a big inspiration because it's like, you see somebody who's able to be disciplined and do that. And then for me, it's like, I'll do it for a while and I feel way better. And then I get lazy again. And that's why it's like, one of the things you talk about too, is like planning ahead. So how, like, if you're traveling or like, you know, you're going to have a busy day, how do you function around? Like, yeah, this is what I eat and I don't stray from
before it. Before COVID, I traveled a lot.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You have to be intentional. You have to. I remember when I first started just carrying a bag of healthy snacks and food because I knew if I didn't have that, I was just going to eat whatever I ate.
Right.
So even traveling today, I can't, if I have to, if I'm going to a small town that, and I look online, I'm very intentional and proactive. I'll scout out the area for the restaurants. And if I don't see that there's plant-based foods or anything that I can eat, I will bring food. Wow. But the beautiful thing today, you really don't have to do a whole lot of that.
Well, as long as you're in a, well, I mean, like in Chicago, it's probably easy to find.
In Chicago's easy, but right. You know what? I even went to a place one time. I said, you know what? I can always go to the grocery store and get a salad. But guess what? I was in a place where they didn't have a salad bar. So so it's just about being intentional. What am I going to eat? How am I going? Because I'd be gone 4 or 5 days at a time.
Wow.
So what am I going to eat? How am I going to nourish myself? And it's been a process. When I first became plant-based, man, it was hard. Even in Chicago, that we had like 2 restaurants.
Right.
Okay. It was really, really hard. Today, it is so simple, so easy. So today, because I have to live in a world. So I work, you know, I'm out with people who eat meat and, you know, I have to live in the world. So If I'm going somewhere or to someone's home, I may eat before I leave because, you know, I've learned that it's okay if they don't, because if they're not plant-based, a lot of people aren't thinking about, you know,
right.
I usually get, okay, we made you a salad, which is fine. I accept that, but I'm going to eat before I go. That way I can just be in the energy of that evening, you know, and not be upset because I'm hungry.
Right.
So I literally had to learn, especially big family events. That was the hardest. Thanksgiving, yeah. Christmas. I mean, that it's an emotional component to it as well, because food brings us together. food is a big thing, at least in my family.
Well, how do you get past the, because one thing you witness with this is like people that aren't plant-based, for whatever reason, get very hostile around people that are. And so like if you're at a family gathering and everyone else, and then you're the one special person that's not going to eat the ham or the turkey. How do you deal with that?
You know what? Time has really made it easy for me. First of all, like I said, it takes courage to live life.
Yeah.
It really takes courage. Because I know a lot of people are guilted into eating on holidays because this person cooked. Guess what? I don't care. Nobody asked me what I wanted, and I'm okay with that.
Right.
But I'll be honest, when I first started, I felt left out. You know, there was emotion. I was felt left out. I kept thinking, should I keep coming to family gatherings? Because it was my attachment to the meals that put me in that space. But over time, I just show up, and depending on where I'm going, I may eat before I leave. But whether they have something or not, it's just not important. It's the social aspect of it. I've shifted from the food to the social aspect of it. Because my family, they're big meat eaters.
Right.
But here's the beautiful thing. I don't put who I am on anyone. It's not my job to be in your face about your choices.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I just model the behavior, and I've impacted more people by modeling my behavior than even thinking about what someone else should be doing. 9 times out of 10, people are watching, especially if I'm the only one at the table, and they'll start asking me questions, making fun of me. That doesn't work, you know. Because guess what? You're only paying attention because I'm doing something that you probably should be doing, that your doctor told you, cut back on this. So I feel that sometimes I'm a mirror and a reflection to a person that should be doing something different anyway. So I even started looking at it differently. You know, I look at it as a great thing now, you know, because that person that's doing the talking, they probably should be doing something different anyway.
Yeah, it's like their insecurities that are talking. You're putting right in front of them
that's
what they should be doing. So it's like, I don't like that you're doing that too.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it can be trying sometimes, you know, oh, you're high maintenance, you're this or that, but I don't care. I don't.
You're also healthy too, right? So. Well, no, I think that that social aspect's important. And I guess that's why is that what prompted the community around us? Like for people that are exploring this lifestyle or these have questions?
They're exploring it or they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I called it plant-based curious because you know what? You can be vegetarian, you can be non-vegan, you can even be a meat eater. But
right.
If you're curious and interested, because one thing I've learned and what contributed to creating the community is people are getting information all over the place. This is healthy. That's healthy. This is plant-based. Oh, I've gone vegan, which, yeah, that's fine. But it doesn't mean that vegan is going to give you the healthy lifestyle. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Because veganism, a lot of people come into, I call it the portal of plant-based or vegan different ways. Some people start thinking about the planet and what's being done to the planet and the animals, and they just stop eating animals.
Okay.
So that is veganism. It's a philosophy. And just because you are vegan, it means that the food you're eating and your vegan footprint means that, okay, instead of using plastic, I'm using paper. I'm thinking more of the environment and how I can do my part to support the environment. But it doesn't mean you're eating healthy.
Because they still make like vegan donuts. So you can be vegan, but eat.
Vegan. Oh, my God. It's so much junk food now. And it just means you're not eating meat. So what I advocate, and, you know, and there's all these other labels in between that I personally don't get into. What is it? I'm vegetarian, nutritarian, all these other labels that I don't care what you call yourself, and we really don't need to get into that.
Yeah.
It's veganism. Veganism is a philosophy of for the animals and the environment. Plant-based means I'm eating minimally processed foods. I'm eating foods that don't have a mother, that don't have a face, and they're grown in the ground.
How do you educate yourself on these things? Because like, I'll watch a documentary and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to go vegan tomorrow. And then you'll read something or hear something else where it's like, well, you need this and that from, you know, from the animal products. Like how did you educate yourself on it? Okay. What's the best place for people to get good information?
Well, and you don't have to do what I did. I actually went to nutrition school.
Yeah, that's extreme.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that today. Okay. Right. But what you can do is look at, there's a plant-based organization that talks about what is plant food. You know, what is the science-backed information of what plant food is? What is veganism? There's a vegan society. I read a lot. I look at a lot of science. I listen to some of the old school plant-based teachers like the China Study, T. Colin Campbell. If you read that, that's where a lot of this has come from, from years ago. So it's just reading and educating myself and keeping out the noise. If it's a marketer or if it's somebody selling something, I usually don't pay attention to that. If there's a bag up, I got an email, a text with a picture of some corn tortilla chips. Mm-hmm. And someone said, this is healthy. I don't see anything bad in it. I always say, read the ingredients. That'll tell you.
Right.
Read the ingredients. What does it say? So if it says naturally healthy, like these corn tortilla chips, and you turn it over and it's some type of processed corn mixture, which is the first ingredient, sapphire oil and avocado oil. What you can do is look up avocado oil and sapphire oil to see what the effects on the body is. Because I look up a lot of stuff. I kind of know more now, but it's from looking up stuff. If I look on the back of something and I can't pronounce the ingredients, that's not healthy. That's not food. You know what I mean? It's not healthy. So the main thing I tell people is read the ingredients on the back of the bag and try not to eat all your food out of a bag.
Yeah, I think that's the
box.
Yeah, that the fresh stuff, if you have to open the package and if you can't read the ingredients, like a simple way to just, hey, at least you know you're making better choices. I mean, I'll be perfect, but it's better.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is you get better over time.
Yeah.
And you're learning. And the true test is when you go to the doctor and, you know, you do your blood work. I always say that's the true test of what you're doing. You don't have to prove anything to anyone but to yourself. So yeah. If you say you're vegan and you go to the doctor and your cholesterol's up and you got all this other stuff going on, that is just an indication that you need to look deeper into what veganism is, into what plant-based is.
Yeah, that's when I first, you know, I had this friend that was vegan for a long time. So I would sporadically eat it. But then when I think I was 28 or something when I went to the doctor and I had high cholesterol. And I was like, at 28?
Yeah.
And I'm not like an unhealthy person. So it was like, so the first thing I started was like with my protein shakes. I'm like, I'm going to do the plant-based protein. And even now, like I don't eat vegan now, but I still use the plant-based protein because the other ones would hurt my stomach. And then this one didn't. And it's like, well, it's the same amount of protein. Why am I not? What do you think the difference is in just subtle things like that that helps our gut
health?
Did
you turn it over and look at the ingredients? Okay, yeah. That's a story right there. That's the truth right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And not only that, I used to drink protein shakes, you know, like everybody else. But guess what? I don't need a protein shake.
Right.
If I'm eating legumes and seeds and beans, I don't need to do that. To answer your question, if it hurts your stomach, turn it over and read the ingredients. And if you don't understand what that ingredient is, look it up. That's how you educate yourself.
I like that. This probably was simple. I was just looking I'm like, well, this one doesn't. So
you know what? That's what's so funny about all this is that simple. People think it's hard because it couldn't be that simple.
Yeah.
But I also feel it's the conditioning and the messaging that we've gotten our whole lives since we've been on the planet.
Well, we still get it. Like, I don't,
all that keeps us.
Yeah. Like, I still see like these viral clips of people that I think they love to hate on, you know, vegans or whatever. And it's like, hey, well, you know, you're hurting the environment by shipping all your avocados across the country or this and that. And it's like, but I think there's more to it than that. Like you haven't really talked about the environmental impact, you know, even the animal impact, like for in certain aspects, it's just a healthier choice, right? I mean, it can't
it's
be just
a healthier
that.
Choice all the way around. It's the environment. I mean, we know now about climate change. We're all living some aspect of it. Of the animals, we know about the factory farms and how these animals, it's not just how they're treated.
Yeah.
It's what that processing is doing to us inside of our body. It's just not one thing. And here's another thing I learned. Animals are in every aspect of our lives. It's in our medications. It's in our makeup. They're in our furniture, our clothes. And the longer I am vegan, the more I learn it, I'm like, darn, you know, it's in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. So people say, well, you're still doing this or that. But you know what I say? This is my process. This is where I am. Because the one thing I'm not going to do is put pressure on myself and drive myself nuts. I'm doing what I know at the time. And when I know better, I'll do better as much as I can do to minimize my footprint. Because it's huge. Okay.
Yeah. Do you think even individually our footprint's huge? Like as just one person? Because that's one argument I've heard too, is like, or even I've probably made, is like, well, I'm just one person. If I stop, it's not really going to make a difference. So what's it matter?
It does matter because we make change. The collective makes a change. So if I'm making a change, you're making a change, and other people are thinking to make a change, that could save some animals. So it's all we can control is our individual contributions. You know, what everybody else is doing is really none of our business. But if we, as a, you know, human being, or if we're more thoughtful about what we're doing, what we're eating, just our own footprint, because the collective, you know, like millions of people have become plant-based and vegan.
Yeah.
Millions, to the point where mainstream food companies are buying up the the vegan food companies and making that garbage as well, you know. So
I think so. What do you say to people? Like, I always feel like I'm too hard on myself too. Like, if it's like, if I can't be perfectly vegan, then I might as well not try.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Do you know when I first became plant-based, I ate fish for a couple of years because the one thing you shouldn't do and is say, I'm done with all this. You know, just tell yourself that, put pressure on yourself.
Right.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need a deep why as to why you're becoming plant-based. Mm. My deeper why was, you know what? I'm young. I'm in my 30s and my health is failing. Okay. I gotta be able to work. I gotta be able to take care of my kids. So I need to change. It's my why. And the veganism came later. It came later because it's taking a step back and looking at the animals and making a connection with the animals and recognizing myself in them in terms of they have children, they feel. You know, they have emotions and expressions just like me. I got that kind of connection, which is why I can sit here and say, I'll never eat another animal. Never. Mm. And people say, well, how are you so sure of yourself? I'm sure because I have that deep connection and I know why. I have my deeper why.
So I'm going to take a step back again. So we've talked about getting the ambitions and goals in line. We've talked about health. So when we switch to the mental aspect of it, and you, part of what your message is about is like kind of limiting negative self-talk and things like that. How do we start to change our mindset to a more positive and nurturing state?
Well, the first thing is acknowledging that I need to change the way I'm thinking, or I need to acknowledge that I do need some help with my mental health, for example. It's recognizing and you know, after a certain point, you're getting feedback from the world in one way or another as to who you are and how you're navigating. So it's like, okay, I want to be happier. I want to to be a different person. Maybe I want to have more confidence. I want to get rid of all this shame I have from my childhood. You know, it's all kinds of things, but it's acknowledging those things, that those things are even happening in your mental health, you know, in your mental state. Or I'm depressed. I am depressed. And the next step is, how do I respond to that? What do I do? Do I go see a therapist? Do I start going around like-minded people so I can learn and understand, okay, what does it even mean to be happy? I remember when I was really young asking myself that question. Yeah. What does it mean to be happy? I don't know, but it's taking those steps in trying to figure that out. And you may not have the answer, but it's just talking to therapists, reading books. Today, you can go to different self-development classes. You can find things that can support you. And how do you know it's working or if it's helping? If it resonates with you.
Do you think you have a better understanding of what it means to be happy now?
Oh, God. I've been happy for years.
What does it mean for you?
It means I'm living my life exactly the way I want to live my life. I'm not living my life on anybody else's terms. I have boundaries that are tight. I'm not afraid to speak up and let people know what I want and what I need. I can treat people with love and kindness 99% of the time. Yeah. And not blame them for how I'm feeling or for what I feel they're doing to me. So it's really, I did a lot of internal work because, you know, I had a sister that was murdered when I was 19 years old. So that, I believe that opened me up to a lot of this work. I really do. I really do. Even though at the time I didn't know that, but it's just being happy and living life on my own terms. You know, I started a business many years ago, just so I could control my own schedule. I remember when I was younger, being afraid of what people thought, you know, if I share this and then they give me their opinion, I might go ask four other people the same question, right. You know, but it's just doing what I want to do and not feeling like I have to ask anybody anything. I love to talk to like-minded people mm-hmm. who want to hear what I have to say. But it's just being really, feeling really good in the world in the midst of all this craziness that's happening right now, you know, but mainly just being happy and learning how to treat myself. And how do I know how I'm treating myself? It's reflected in how I treat others.
I'm just taken by the fact that you didn't mention anything about like your business success, your, you know, anything that had to do with, you know, work, money, materialistic things. That struck me about your happiness.
Well, you know what I feel? That will come. If you're navigating in the world, doing what you love, focused on creating what you want, the money comes. I mean, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying I can be balanced in my life because I'm not worried.
Yeah.
And if I was worried, and I have been worried, I have had many challenges, okay? A happy life is good, and it can suck a whole lot sometimes. You know what I mean? Because things happen. But guess what? I don't focus on that thing that's happening that doesn't feel too good, that's bad, or I got to really come up with some money for, because I'm going to find a solution to get me back on that path. Yeah. Again, but that's life, up and down, up and down.
So I think that's the thing that people struggle with a lot too, is that we have this idea that to be happy means I'm happy 100% of the time. And it's like, it's okay to have different emotions, even at the same time. Like, oh, you can goodness. Be a happy person and have a bad day.
And that's the thing. And that's what you learn. If something bad happens in my life, doesn't tear down everything. Maybe when I was younger, it tore down everything, or that's how I felt. But it's happening right here. So I can be happy, not be happy that's happening, but I can be happy overall and then deal with this thing right here that's happening over here. Because I am not the things that happen to me. You know what I mean? It's a combination of things. Happiness is a combination of things. And it's not about a person. Okay. It's not who you're in a relationship with. You know, at the end of the day, your happiness comes from the inside out.
I like that. What's next for you? What is, you know, growth and success look like for you and your businesses? I mean, you're launching this podcast now. So what's the next mission for you?
What's exciting is, yes, I'm launching this podcast and I really want to put myself in it 150% to help and serve other people. And I'm starting to travel again. It's not going to be for work. So it's just navigating through life on my own terms. To me, that's an ongoing thing, whatever that means. But right now, in terms of the work, I'm going to continue teaching. I teach classes at a college here, and I'm going to focus on this podcast this year.
Is it just about getting that plant-based and that healthy lifestyle message out there to more people? Is that the mission behind the podcast?
The mission and serving others, leaving my footprint and doing my best to serve and help others. And this is an area where I feel I can serve and help others with what I know or with what I've learned thus far.
Is it going to be you? How are you laying this one out? Are you bringing in other guests? Is you kind of teaching different subjects about it? How's the podcast going?
Oh, I'm bringing in other people, but I also got feedback that, because I had a podcast years ago and I had guests all the time, but this time is different. I got guests. That was when I first started and I wasn't comfortable. So I had guests all the time because it's easy to have a guest, right?
Yes.
But now I'm literally educating and having solo, solo episodes. So talking about growth, I am excited and I feel I have something to say. So it's a combination of guests, but also solo content, because I want people to learn, to be educated. I feel that's the purpose of this podcast, is to help educate, inspire, and motivate people.
That's awesome. And then what about that online community? What's the purpose there? Is it just to give people an avenue to connect with others?
Well, I could just do the podcast, but I wanted people who are really interested to join the community and be with like-minded people on the journey, or people who are just curious. Most people just want information.
Yeah.
They just want more information. So, you know, we have articles. It gives you an opportunity to meet other people in the same space. I just launched a recipe space inside the community.
Nice.
So people can go in and write their recipes, to just start sharing and connecting with like-minded people. That is the bigger purpose.
How do people find that space, the podcast, and more about you?
www.plantbasedcurious.com.
And then what is one piece of advice that someone could take away from conversation, from listening to you, that they can apply to kind of get their life better?
One thing I would say is to know that you matter. You matter. And if you feel that you matter, then you may have a voice. Then you feel you can contribute. But you matter enough to do the things that you want to do in this life.
Thank you very much. Because I feel like I've done 20-something of these so far. And they've they've been similar. But there's something about your messaging that's like, it's like it's internal. That true happiness and that those goals that you have and that you're sharing for other people. So it just feels different. So I just thank you for sharing it with all of us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. And hopefully we chat again soon.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Plant-Based Curious podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed our discoveries, experiences, and resources about the plant-based vegan lifestyle. Remember to click that subscribe button so you can join in on our future conversations. Until next time, allow yourself a little time and good energy.